Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. We want to talk to Exira Mayor Mike Hegrick this morning. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good, John or Jim. Good morning. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, it's been a tough few days here for the folks in the Exira area with everything that went on with that big fire in the downtown area on Friday. How are things since then? How's the process going?
Well, it's a slow process. We had the state fire marshal there. He was there yesterday, and he's coming back today. They're trying to determine a cause. We still had hot spots as of, I think the last hot spot we finally had extinguished was early Sunday morning, so it started at, Friday morning? So we still had fire on Sunday morning, so it was a long, drawn-out deal. Had guys on scene for pretty much the whole weekend. So, most of our guys, a lot of them didn't get much sleep over the weekend, put it that way.
Oh, no doubt. Well, and in addition to being the mayor of the community there, too, aren't you also on the fire department?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm one of the assistant chiefs. So, yeah, I'm wearing a couple hats right now, I guess you'd say.
So you can kind of speak to how difficult that was at that point in time to have to spend all that time on a hot day like that dealing with something that just went on for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we got the call at, 10 minutes to 3 in the morning, and I think when we finally, pretty well shut down operations that day was, almost 3:30, 4 o'clock that afternoon. So we were at it for a good 12 hours, and we had, as last I knew, over right at or a little more, maybe 30 different departments we had come in helping us haul water. I mean, it was unreal.
Where's the process?
We just kept calling, and we told the dispatchers, you just keep calling. We tell you to quit, and they came as far away from, Greenfield. We had takers from Dow City, which is like 55 miles away, and I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, then we talked about that here in the studios during the course of the morning too. Just how many fire departments. Our news director Rick Hansen spent much of the day up there too, and he was constantly texting back saying, "Well, now this department's here and this department's here." We were trying to keep track, and we lost control of it after a while.
Yeah, I mean it was unreal, and then the community support with the food, and the water, and we got more water. I heard the doctors and nurses in Atlantic, the hospital, were making sandwiches and taking stuff to the Atlantic Fire Station to bring up, and thank God for them guys in their aerial and the crews they brought. It was awesome, And I heard from their Bob Reynolds. He said that was a record. They pumped. That was the most water that truck had ever pumped in one fire.
Wow.
They pumped 400,000 gallons to that one truck.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there were a lot of different pieces of apparatus there. And we kind of chronicled that during the course of what was going on, how the water supply was an issue and tankers were having to move water from point to point to get it into the downtown area where it was needed. But, it's amazing. Even though you've got all these different firefighting departments together, they all work so well together.
Yeah, It can be a little challenging sometimes, different guys do different things, but it seemed like it worked really well that day. We kind of put the tankers on one radio channel and everybody else was on a different channel, and they weren't, talking over each other. And I don't know, it seemed to work pretty well from my standpoint where I was at.
I know you and I talked a little bit yesterday that the fire marshals were there taking care of business on their end now, too. Where is all that process right now?
They were there all day yesterday. They left about, 5:30 last night, and they're coming back today. I mean, it's a lot of debris to sift through, trying to, determine a cause. Nothing's determined yet. So, we're still working on that. And I guess whenever they get to figure out what they'll do, we'll let everybody know, I guess. Or they will, or something, how that'll work, I guess.
Is it fortunate, Mike, in your perspective, that fire didn't go any further than it did? Was there a possibility that could have continued to spread?
Well, yeah, that opening back there, that was from a fire back in, I'm guessing around 1980. I can't remember the exact date because I was in high school at the time, but, there was a cafe in that middle building that burnt back then. But, yeah, if it wasn't for that gap, who knows, we might have lost that whole block because it seemed like once it got in that roof, it just went. We couldn't get it stopped. There's so many layers of old. They've added onto the roof so many years, and it's just once it gets in between them ceilings and them roofs, it's a son of a gun to get to.
Yeah, I know water was an issue and stuff. Was that the biggest challenge?
You know, once we got the tanker system going, you know, we were pulling out of Audubon. Well, then we had tankers that were going to be sitting in line to load. Then we decided to go down to the gravel pit there, the abandoned gravel pit there south of town, and started. We had a couple different departments, I think Brayton and Kimbledon, went down there to set up a drafting system. They could fill six trucks at a time out of that rock quarry. So that made a huge difference.
Mike, is there, from an inside perspective, for folks who don't fight fires at all, that aren't volunteer firefighters, how do you determine when you need to call other departments and when you need some assistance? Is there a process you go through to know exactly what needs to happen when?
You know, when I left my house, I drove by the fire out to the fire station, and there was already smoke and fire showing. I mean, and I've been in a few of these fires, and it's like you can't call enough help fast enough. I mean, I'd just as soon have 100 guys standing around and 50 pieces of apparatus sitting there not doing nothing, rather than waiting on somebody and you can't do anything about it because you don't have somebody or something there or some people to do anything. So, I mean, we just, like I say, pretty much instantly we were calling everybody because we knew it wasn't going to be good.
Yeah, and the fact that with the weather conditions out there too, it was a hot day and you're wearing a lot of equipment and all. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for folks to kind of switch out, take a break now and again.
Yeah, because you're wearing a lot of gear and it's hot, you know, if you're on air, you know, them air bottles, they last, 20 minutes at the most. So, I mean, yeah, you're constantly having to switch guys out. I mean, we didn't do much of an interior attack because it was so hot and so smoky they couldn't see anything. So, and there was no life, jeopardy inside the building. So it's like, we're not gonna risk any firemen I realize it's people's livelihood and their possession, but nothing's worth somebody losing their life over.
Yeah, and we didn't hear of anyone getting injured at all. Is that true?
No, yeah, not that I know of, no significant injuries. I mean, just, guys are sure tired and sore, but as far as anything major, no, I didn't hear of anything like that.
Yeah, so that's always a plus, obviously. That's pretty amazing with all that was going on. Mike, yeah. You and I talked earlier about, too, the thanks. You kind of touched on some of that, but boy, volunteer fire department, well, it's just that. It depends on volunteers locally, but it's not just the guys and gals that suit up and go out and fight fires. You get a lot of help and a lot of support in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the community club, like I say, we had stuff coming from Harlan. People were sending stuff. You know, that's one thing, social media. I guess they put out a call on the Facebook or something, I guess, that we were needing water for, these guys, and I mean, they just came out of the woodwork. I couldn't believe it. And we have right now, I think we have probably four or five pickup loads of drinks and stuff at our fire station right now. It's left over. So, I mean, it was just, yeah. I mean, they came out, like I say, from all over. I mean, it wasn't just Exire people either. I mean, and it was still dark yet. So, I mean, before 6 o'clock in the morning, we were having the ladies walking around trying to hand guys water and they needed, a donut because it was in the morning, and it was just, I couldn't believe it.
Well, and the support that the firefighters themselves get, too. They volunteer their time. They go through a lot of training and all the kind of stuff that they have to go through. But, their employers make a sacrifice, too, and you and I talked earlier about that. That's something that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Oh, yeah. We all have, I would guess most everybody has a full-time job. And like I say, this lasted most of the day, so these guys that are even from different towns, their employers let them go to these calls, so I mean, it's not just the firemen and their families. They sacrifice the wives, and their guys leave in the middle of the night. They don't know what they're going to get into. I know my wife worries. She's glad when I come home if I go on a call. It's not just the firefighters. It's the whole, their whole family. I mean, the employees, their employers, it's a good deal.
Having a fire department in a small town, it's really a community effort.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you'd see that in a big paid city department. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for them, but, I couldn't believe it. I've been on over 20 years, and I've never seen support. I mean, we've never had nothing this big, of course, but the support that we had was amazing. And even now the monetary donations we're starting to get for, paying for some of the bills we're going to have and stuff. I mean, we got a fuel bill that, I know we're estimating probably you know, at least maybe $2,000 to $3,000 in diesel fuel we used between all the apparatus.
You bet.
But
what happens from here now, Mike? As mayor of the community, now you look at the downtown area, and there's a substantial hole there in one of the blocks downtown. I mean, is there any thought yet to what's next?
Well, there's been a lot of ideas thrown around. You know, we're still, I mean, hopefully, you know, the biggest thing now, I mean, we got all the buildings had insurance, which is good. I don't know how good their insurance was. You know, I guess the next step, we need to get the mess cleaned up. That's the first step. And then I have to go from there. I mean, nobody really knows if they're going to, you know, if these, the bar or the, or Gabby and Krabby are going to rebuild, or we don't know for sure there. I mean, everybody's pretty raw yet. I mean, hopefully something can get put back in there, but we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, you bet. It's a tough time. You go from the joy and excitement of the 4th of July festivities in the community, and then not hardly a week later, all of a sudden, you have something like this happen. But, boy, you sure find out who your friends are in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that, too. If that would have happened on the 4th of July weekend, oh, boy. You know, with the carnival uptown there, it would have been a complete different thing then, I think.
Yeah, well, thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. Very good. Well,
no.
Mike, thank you so much for your time and your dedication as well as a volunteer firefighter and all those folks out there, men and women, who go out and put their lives on the line to assist not just their own neighbors but other folks in other communities as well. We really appreciate all the good hard effort.
Yeah, and we've told all them departments, you know, if something would happen there, you know, we'd be there in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, again, thank you so much, and good luck to you and the folks there in Exira. We hope you get back to as close to normal as possible here real soon.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, thanks for the time, and yeah, we hope things will get better slowly but surely, I hope. So, you know, we're resilient. We'll come back from this.